my brothers and sisters. Well, I'll tell you now that tonight's subject has taken me right out of my comfort zone, which you could say is a positive thing, but also there is a negative thing with this as well. But I hope we get some positive from what I'm about to say or study. So, my brothers and sisters, what I'd like to do to start off with is with a short look at the actual background of tonight's subject, the actual book of Malachi. Now, Malachi is actually the final book of the Old Testament, which we know of, and it's the final book of 12 prophets. Now, the Jewish scholars, they actually view this is one book. The 12 prophets is one book, even though we do know that they're recorded by 12 different scribes. And we're led to believe this is over a period of perhaps of 350 years that these books were written. Now, the other name that these books are called is actually they're called the Minor Books. Not because they are less inspired or less important, but because of the prophecies are actually shorter. But what the Word of God shows us is because of the sins of his people, and especially of the tribe of Judah, that they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Now, with Jerusalem and the temple being destroyed around about what I think is about 586 BC, there was a remnant. There was a few of the Jews that returned from that captivity. And during the time of the prophets of Haggai and Zechariah, they finished rebuilding that temple of Jerusalem in the dates around about 520 to 516 BC. And what I can work out, after another 60 years, Ezra arrived to further advance that actual nation. And this was then followed with another 13 years later by Nehemiah, who actually rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. So, by the time of Malachi's time, the Jews had been back in their homeland for more than 100 years. The temple had been rebuilt, and the city of Jerusalem had been restored. Now let's just concentrate now just on the man Malachi. Because Malachi, we know that he is the author because it says in verse 1 of chapter 1, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Now what I've learned in Hebrew that name, Malachi, means the messenger, which points to Malachi's role as the prophet of the Lord, delivering God's message to God's people. Malachi offered no other identifying information about himself within his book, and he certainly left out any markers that was typical of all the other prophets. He didn't tell us who his father's name was, and he doesn't tell us who the certain leader of Israel was. Well, however, based on the content of the book, it becomes very clear to me that Malachi was delivering his message of judgment to those who were very familiar with all the worship within the temple of Jerusalem. But the people of Judah had turned away from the true worship of God, the true worship of the Lord, leaving themselves under great judgment and in need of salvation. But as I said, there's nothing else that is mentioned or known about this author. But what is clear, that Malachi's book is a book of messengers, and I think I've seen five that can be identified. Firstly, that the prophet Malachi was one of those messengers. Two, that the priests, who were supposed to be God's messengers, but were blamed for failing to perform their priestly office according to God's instructions. Just look at chapter 2 and verse 7, what it says there. That's Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7. For the lips of the priests ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from the way, and by teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 9. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you not followed my ways, but have shown particular in the matters of the law. And really this is the third part of what we're really here about, and that's the message number 3. And that is in chapter 3, verse 1. Really, this is John the Baptist was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ's first coming. For we read with Hagen, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. And we'll come back to this in a little while. The number 4 message really is that Jesus Christ is the messenger of the covenant who would return. And really the end one, the 5th message that I can see, is really at the end of time that Elijah is prophesied to appear on the scene before the great and dreadful day of the Lord's coming. We see that really in chapter 4 and verse 5. We turn to that. So that's chapter 4 and verse 5. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. So, my brothers and sisters, the context of Malachi was at a time when Malachi was writing, the spiritual condition of the people was deplorable and was wretched. Some had wanted to scale back on their worship of God, and many others were highly skeptical of worth of this worship at all. And what I found as I read through Malachi, I was struck by the sins of the day. The adultery, the lying, the cession of the poor, the ungodly marriages, the stealing of God's tithes and offerings, the sacrifices that were inferior, and certainly the lax of priesthood that we read of, and so on and so on. Malachi prophesied to a nation that had reached a low spiritual condition. They had a casual approach, a very casual approach to the worship of their God. And certainly the priests were responsible for not giving proper spiritual direction and guidance to the people. There is also an important aspect of this book, and it's the people's failure. The people's failure to actually recognise God's love for them. Look at chapter 1 and verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau's Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. Instead, the people, they became indifferent and hard in seeking God. and they were certainly unwilling to heed the dire warnings and the predictions that they heard from their messengers. The feeling that I get is a feeling of confrontation and hostility between the people and God, and this also included God's messengers. Their spiritual carelessness and attitude that would lead to their destruction unless they all repented. But what is great about this book is Malachi was inspired to carry his message forward to the end of his age. And what he does for us, he marks out the return of Christ. Now, what I have sort of looked at, I think it tells us that we can see in chapter 3 and verse 1, we see Christ's first coming, but we also see the return of Christ. Because I seem that they are both mentioned in that verse 1. Let me just read that. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Bear with me for a second, I just lost myself. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Let's now just turn to Matthew and look at chapter 11 and verse 10. So it's Matthew chapter 11 and verse 10. Now this is where John the Baptist is clearly identified as the messenger of the Lord. John the Baptist was certainly the forerunner of Jesus Christ. This is clearly a reference to his first coming, Jesus' first coming. So if we look at Matthew chapter 11, verse, I think if we go to verse 7. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about it who is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Now if we look at Isaiah now, and just look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, and what we see here is a very similar prophecy. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. Which is the fulfillment in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. For John is the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I've done it again. Move to the right. Do that. Now I'm in the muddle. Bear with me. Yes, so a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the deserts of a highway for our God. And in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, which repeats those words from Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Now the other thing that I noticed, what Malachi does, and he does it repeatedly,
is he says, the day. But he who can endure the day of his coming. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, surely the day is coming. There will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. But out of the love, God calls all of us to repent. And he gives those a stern warning to all, including those living at that time. It behoves all peoples to heed the warnings that there will be worthy to escape all those things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke chapter 21 verse 35. So that's Luke chapter 21 and verse 35. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Unless our Heavenly Brother intervenes in the affairs of humanity, the world will end with a curse or with utter destruction. Look at Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. And I've already said this, but in that verse he says, he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total, yes, total destruction. And that is echoed in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. So chapter 3 of Malachi. Those verses 1 to 6 mentions the messenger who will bring hope and will bring comfort to a distressed world. But the question is asked, who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? The time before the return of Christ, it will bring about huge and catastrophic events that will actually stun this world. One I thought of was in Joel chapter 2 and verse 11, where it reads, the Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number. And the mighty is the army that obeys his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? However, my dear brothers and sisters, Christ, our elder brother, we know that he will return to establish a new society based on his laws and his Father's and that way of life. Let's recap what it says in chapter 3, and I believe it's 3. Yes, look at chapter 3 and verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. What we do see in the book of Malachi, that God actually challenges them to put him to the test. Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. This is if they were be willing to abide by his laws, that he would demonstrate his faithfulness to bless them individually and as a nation. So it's chapter 3, and let's look at, verse 9. You are under a curse, you whole nation, because you are robbing me, bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will be room and will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. But this whole book, this whole message, leads us really to what Malachi says in chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a fireless furnace. All the ignorant and evildoers will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But what for me, where this turns positive really, is that there were some people, yet some people responded to that prophet Malachi and that most important message from God. And in the NIV it's actually entitled The Faithful Remnant. And I haven't marked down which chapter that is, but it's verse 16. Chapter 3, 16. Thank you, Steve. So it's chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in their presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Verse 17. And on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possessions. I will spare them. Just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, because those who serve God and those who do not. A book of remembrance is written for those God calls his jewels, and he promises to spare them as his only children. But what I like about these few verses in this book of Malachi is the reason for why they responded. One, that they feared the Lord, that they honoured him, they esteemed and respected, and they obeyed him. Two, that they spoke to one another, showing the importance of their fellowship with people of like mind. Three, that they meditated on his name. They studied and they thought about what was written, and to come to a greater understanding of God and his purpose of mankind. That their lives took on a different purpose and meaning. Hope was, where they had despair, it was replaced with hope. Where they had error, it was replaced with the truth. Four, they served him, showing a willingness to obey God and to seek his kingdom and righteousness as their first priority in their lives. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, that this encompasses all those thoughts. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But let me just go back to that book of remembrance for a moment, which is mentioned. For that book of remembrance is an encouragement to those faithful to God. Since really God does not need any book or records to remember or collect any names. But so let's have a brief look at Malachi. Finishing off really. The chapter 1, Israel shows disrespect for God's law, love, and yet, as always, he continues to be patient with them. But the people display disdain and lack of respect for God. Our Heavenly Father certainly lays the blame at the feet of the priests who are supposed to teach his ways. And they were allowing the people to offer blemished sacrifices in direct opposition to God's instructions. We even know that human leaders of today would not accept such offerings. And those who call to serve in the ministry must be diligent in setting the right personal example while teaching God's word faithfully. The message for us, dear brothers and sisters, is that we all should give our best to our Heavenly Father. Even though we do not have no animal sacrifice for today, each of us should be trying to live a living sacrifice and trying to give a service that is actually acceptable to our Heavenly Father. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. It is up to us, it is up to me, to fulfill our Christian responsibilities in this way that is pleasing to our Creator. Unlike those people of Malachi's time. Well, this book of Malachi was the final instruction in the last book of what we can class as the English arrangement of the Old Testament books. But it does tie in with the first book of the New Testament and Christ's teaching that he did come, that he did not come to destroy the law, but to make it more complete. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. For this is what Jesus says. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least spoken of a pen, will be by any means disappeared from the law until everything is established. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist particularly fulfilled this prophecy, preparing the way for Christ's first coming. And the instruction in Malachi is clear. God pleads with the people to consider their ways and to respond to his love and to accept his offering for everlasting life. For we all know John chapter 3 verse 16, that God so beloved the world that he gave his only Son. Our Heavenly Father desires that all come to repentance in order to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you and with me, and he is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God, our Heavenly Father, in his great love and mercy, wants us to reap the benefits of the rich rewards that awaits those who generally seek and obey him. We should make the Bible, the Word of God, and its teachings part of our daily lives. For the Bible, dear brothers and sisters, is our anchor. It's incredibly stable in an increasingly unstable, dangerous world that we live in. For it is the only source of real hope among the uncertainties that daily confront us. So let's keep studying and applying its words.